All right, everyone, welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. Of course, on Fridays, it turns into the Sports Grid NFL Sports Betting Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock, our last podcast of the week, our Picks Against the Spread podcast, bringing in my buddy Connor Allen from the Quant Edge this week. Mayo and I had a good week last week picking against the spread. Both of our stone-cold locks got there. Arizona covered, Jacksonville covered, almost won outright. Right, Pat was pretty happy about that. Connor, how did your week two in betting go?
It was pretty good, man. I hit the player props really hard. I think I went like 11-4, man. I just smashed some of those. Some of those are just so soft. Like, the market on those is incredible. So I'm gonna keep, you know, pounding those, throwing in a few picks against the spread here. But yeah, I mean, it was a good week too.
No, that's actually a good point. We haven't really talked much about player props on these shows, but if you're not someone who's trying to get, like, you know, $1,000 down a weekend on games, you actually are much better off attacking the player props markets. We have a player props tool at Daily Roto. I assume you guys have one at the Quant Edge as well, which functions off of the player projections. And what you're going to notice is the player props go in like tiers of players. So, like, you know, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Juju Smith-Schuster, those guys are all going to have, like, you know, kind of the exact same projection more or less, or exact same line. And so if you have a meaningful difference in your projections, like, these lines are really soft for the player props.
Oh, totally. I mean, like, it's almost like they just take the averages of, like, this player, or like throw them into tiers, kind of like you're saying, and then just leave it up there. I mean, the past 2 weeks, Dalvin Cook's carries has been set at like 15.5. I mean, which is just a total joke to anyone who's been paying attention to, like, understanding how the Vikings want to play. It's things right. like that, like, if you're in the fantasy sphere here and understand things like that, you can just literally make easy money off some of these.
Yeah. So, format of the show, we go through our least confident to our most confident picks, you know, kind of based on the Westgate Las Vegas Super Contest. I know that a lot of people play in contests where, you know, that's just very similar to that. I will say this week, though, I really only have two picks that I'm like, these are very good. And, you know, I just feel extremely solid going to the betting window with these. I think that there's a combination of things going on here. The first is that Miami is a 23-point dog, as are the New York Jets. So those are just, I think those games are just unbettable, because I think the range of outcomes is too wide.
Yeah, I don't really touch those kinds of games, just because, like, the Patriots could absolutely dominate the Jets and be up like 30-0, and the Jets score like a last-second touchdown.
Right. It's just the range of outcomes of, like, it could be 50-12 going into the fourth quarter, and the spread is so large that the Jets could cover. So that's a brutal spot. And then also, something that is troubling for me is when Kansas City plays against good teams, those are hard bets as well, because Kansas City against a bad team, I'm taking Kansas City in the points, you know, the first 2 weeks, and Dallas as well. I took Dallas the first 2 weeks as well, and those were two of my five picks each week. But I, against Baltimore for Kansas City, I feel better about the total in that game than the spread. And I have no idea what to do with Dallas against Miami either.
Yeah, I mean, like, for fantasy, we know it's a smash spot, but in terms of, like, the spread, like, it's so big, just like the Patriots. And then with the total there, too, like, the Cowboys could, I mean, potentially get there on their own, but, I mean, I have just no confidence in the Dolphins to help aid that at all either way. So it's probably just another stay away for me in that one, too.
Yeah. All right, so let's go. I will visitors can go first. Your least confident pick, and we open it up this week because you and I both did not feel great about a ton of the spread. So we are having over-unders on our card this week as well.
All right, so I'm going to start it off with Green Bay, 7.5 at home against the Broncos. The Packers defense is legit. I mean, they've held the Vikings and Bears to 16-3 points through two games. Now they're at Lambeau. I mean, the Broncos offense just looks legit awful. Like, Flacco is toast. I mean, the only good part of it is pretty much Emmanuel Sanders here.
50 passing attempts last week, under 300 passing yards. And Sigmund Bloom tweeted at me when I tweeted that graph that we should just officially refer to that as a Flacco moving forward.
Seriously, like, I don't even know how that's possible. It was just like one of those things that, oh yeah, literally only Joe Flacco there, like only Flacco. And I mean, you have the Broncos here playing on a noon game on the road, you know, going all the way to Lambeau. So I think the Packers win fairly convincing here with like a 24-10 kind of final score. I mean, if you really are nervous, you can buy down, but that's kind of a fish move. So I like the 7.5 here with Green Bay. I think they win by a good amount.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty good one. The reason why it's really the half point that gets me there. Mm-hmm. Because I am like sort of a noted Aaron Rodgers shorter. I don't really like betting on Aaron Rodgers. I don't like betting on this version of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers like 5 years ago was a dude who I absolutely loved to bet on. So starting out with my kind of least confident pick, I guess, Tampa Bay -6.5 at home to the New York Giants. This is again, getting the half point is kind of the reason why I like that. I think 7 would be a tougher spot, but the history of quarterbacks starting out their career on the road, that's a mixed history at best. You can basically say that's kind of the worst circumstance you would want to see Daniel Jones start his career in. The second is that this Tampa Bay defense looks okay, right? They look a lot better than the version they had last year. They made Jimmy G's life really uncomfortable, though they ended up losing that game because Jameis Winston looked even more uncomfortable. And they looked good against Cam Newton. Now, Cam Newton was horrible in that game, but they made his life uncomfortable as well. But more than anything, I just think we're due for like a good Jameis game, right? Like we're not due. It's just he's a yard and a half off of his career yards per attempt.
Yeah, I mean, this Giants defense has just been torched. Like, they've let up 28 and 35 in two games. And, I mean, the secondary has just been brutal. So, I mean, I definitely like a Jameis bounce back here. And this pick actually was one of my ones that I had written down. I mean, it was like, I'm just so off the – there's, like, so much hype going on right now about Daniel Jones just because of how bad Eli's been. And, like, people aren't realizing that just because, like, Eli was bad and Daniel Jones is, like, probably an upgrade that, like, he's not going to be so much better.
He's not going to be like a 4-point upgrade though.
Yeah. He's just like different. You know what I mean? And like, I was like pretty down on him as a college prospect. And you saw in college, he struggled against pressure. He averaged, I think it was like less than 6 yards per attempt against pressure, last in the QB class when facing pressure. So I don't know. I'm pretty down on Daniel Jones. And then, I mean, like legitimately for me with this Bucks one, I think that the only way that I see the Giants keeping this one close here is if like Saquon and Ingram just like, you know, go off or like have a huge game here. So I'm with you.
I don't even know if that would do it because like, I like Peyton Barber at least seems to be like, he seems like the lead guy for them right now. And he's probably like the most dependable, like, you know, asset that they have. So I actually sort of think Tampa Bay is figuring it out. And with, like I think Tampa Bay can win that division. So Cam is injured, Drew Brees is injured, and you know, the Falcons look horrible. Now I like the Falcons this week. They're going to be one of the last picks we discuss, but they look like a not very good team. So I think Tampa Bay, despite that really disappointing home loss to the 49ers, I still think they can win this division.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, I think I agree with you there. It's pretty crazy how quickly that division can turn around because they were definitely like the bottom dwellers kind of heading into the season here. And then now, I don't mind that at all. I think that there's definitely a solid chance of them winning the division or even, you know, scraping their way into the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, who is your next in the order?
All right, here. So I also like the Rams as 3-point favorites here on the road against the Browns. I mean, I'm gonna fade the Browns until they show they're a good team.
Until they show something.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they were just destroyed by a Tennessee team that we just saw. Like, Tennessee is not a good team, and they were just absolutely destroyed at home. The Browns were, and then they beat the Jets. I mean, but like that was not really a whole lot. I mean, like they should have won by like 30, considering the circumstances there. They were only 4-13 on third down. They only had 3 more first downs than the Jets all game, and their Browns injury report is just massive. Like, you're looking at potentially their entire secondary missing this game. I mean, you have Ward, Burnett, Greedy, Randall all either limited or out on practice today as we're recording on Friday. So I don't know. I mean, if those guys are all missing, I don't really see a way that the Browns are able to, you know, stay with the Rams in this game unless Baker and Odell really, really click like the entire game and are basically just shredding. Like, it's going to take one of those types of games here for me to see the Browns keep up here.
Yeah, I'm with this. You know, basically, I believe more in Sean McVay at this point than I do in the organization in Cleveland. And I started out the year very high on them. You know, I started out saying Freddie Kitchens, Todd Monk, and Baker Mayfield. This is you know, I was you know, one of the lemmings who was ready to chase those dudes off the cliff. But they haven't really showed it. And I think that they're in this weird. Like, they're too aggressive kind of in the wrong spots. Like, in that Titans game, there were just clearly a couple possessions where they needed to get some points, and they were, like, calling designed rollouts with deep shots for Baker Mayfield on 3rd-and-1, which, like, it really was bizarre. And then, of course, they steamrolled a Jets team that now, you know, without Sam Darnold, this team is as bad as any other in the league because the backup quarterback situations are not good. So, that one, I like as well. That was one of the ones that I had listed here. Want to get your thoughts on my next one, which is Pittsburgh at San Francisco. I like the San Francisco side. It's a big number. It's probably more than the 49ers should be favored, but just like we mentioned with Daniel Jones, rookie quarterback making first start on the road, and the 49ers defense, you know, they don't seem horrible thus far. You know, actually, two pretty good results. They're a 2-0 team. I actually kind of wish they would have lost that Tampa Bay game because the line here would be like 4.5 if they had lost that game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting game. I'm like scared to kind of bet against Mason Rudolph because I kind of like him. I think he's a little bit underrated.
He was like a good college player. Yeah,
exactly. And he was kind of fun. I was like, you know what, this guy could, if he's in the right system, you know, I thought that he could do well in the league. And now, I mean, you got him with Juju and James Conner and like a pretty decent offense. So I don't know. Like, I think that you're right, though. I think the 49ers are probably the better side here. And, like, with them winning by a touchdown just seems like it would be the right number for me in terms of, like, when they win. But, like, the spread, yeah, should probably be closer to, like, 4. So,
yeah. So that's the thing, right, is I think the number is a little bit too big. Like, I'd like it a lot more, 4.5 or 5. But I think that the 49ers side of that game just in general is the right side. Like, and I also think that Jimmy seems to be like kind of slowly putting it together. He made a couple better throws last week. And I mean, this is still a dude who, you know, a lot of people who know a lot more about football than I do insist that guy is really good. I don't know. But so that's just kind of where I'm coming at that from Jimmy. But we are getting close to the two games that I do really like this week. What is your third?
So we've kind of talked about a bunch of the games already. So, like, basically for me here, I liked also that under in the Green Bay game and Denver. Yeah. I mean, I've already kind of talked about the game as a whole, but really I just don't see Denver scoring more than, like, you know, 10, 14 points in this one. And that's really pushing it. So, I mean, under 43 here, you're only really at risk of Aaron Rodgers blowing up in this one. I don't really see a way of Denver trying to, you know, help aid that over here. So,
yeah, I like that one. I am just like a classic fish when it comes to betting these lines, though. I want the overs. Like, yeah, if I think the under is the right side, that's like a no bet, right? Like, because who wants to watch a game and just sweat against points?
The thing is, I have so much, like, action down everywhere that, like, I'm not, like, sweating one thing or another. It's, like, I just have so much, like, stuff going on everywhere.
Right, you're like, sitting there at the end of the day just like, okay, so that went right and that went right. Like, you just have, Well, you know, this is the truest adage in our little world is, you know, your Sunday's going bad when you start sweating your season long teams. Like when you're totally, like opening totally. Up the Yahoo page and seeing like, okay, like, how am I doing in that? You know, you're getting absolutely crushed in DFS.
Totally. I don't even like open that until, like, you know, before Sunday night. Cause it just doesn't even matter until then. Like, there's nothing even like to sweat or anything. And even then I'm just like barely even looking at it. I have a few, like 350 FFPC 3-packs. And those are the only ones that I really am just like really into. Cause, you know, it's like semi meaningful, you know, buy-ins, but that's
right.
About it.
Yeah. I check our, so I have, 3 FFPC main event teams and I open up. I open those up Sunday morning to know who I'm playing against and that, like, but that, but I wouldn't check. I would, and I know who those teams are. So I like, I'm kind of thinking of that throughout the day, but honestly, I try and sweat the bets the least because that, like, that's when you'll end up tilting the most. Is because when you know what you're sweating in the fourth quarter and you run bad, there's nothing worse than, like, losing the cover in the fourth. Man. Like, the Trey Quinn touchdown in week 1 for Philly.
Yeah, that was absolutely brutal. I was on the Philly side there and was just Oh man, that was terrible. And then little college shout out here last night, Houston Tulane. I don't know.
Yeah, the Tulane cover.
You got to be kidding me, man! I actually got a text from a friend who was like, "Yo, the Tulane offensive coordinator just texted me, like basically saying that like we're trash, like we're not going to score at all, like you know, bet Houston." So I was like, "All right, cool." So you know, I bet Houston or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're up like what 28-7, and they ended up blowing it with those last two plays there and coming back, dude. That's just was not good.
Rough. Oh man, that game actually went just about perfect for me because I'm short all things Tennessee, but yeah. it was not a particularly fun game to watch. Okay, so moving on to my second favorite pick. This line is literally different at every single book, but it's Atlanta +1, +1.5, +2, and +2.5. Like I've literally seen that line at 1 through 2.5 at like at different times of the day. And what that tells me is there are a lot of people out there that think Atlanta is the sharp side, but don't want to bet on Matt Ryan. My guess would be that the more analytically inclined guys who are betting off a model are betting on Atlanta. And then like the public money would be going against Matt Ryan, obviously. But basically this one of the easiest ways I can think about betting on games like this, where the spread is kind of close, is which team like performs like, which team sticks closer to the math? So basically, which team throws more? And Indianapolis has actually ran more times than they've thrown this year, whereas Atlanta is the exact opposite. They have 89 passing attempts through two games. And if you just think of that at the very base level, like, oh, the average pass includes more expected points than the average run, Atlanta should like just be the better side in this game, basically. That's really like the most high-level thought I've put into it.
Yeah, I agree that the Falcons, I think, are the better team. I'm just like, this feels almost like a trap to me. Like, this is like a trap, like, line. It feels like
– weird line. One-point totally favorite on the road against a team that runs the ball a ton. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, for me, like, I don't know. I agree with you here. I'm just, like, kind of a little bit scared of it just because of that. I've seen these before. You know, it was almost like that Atlanta-Philly game last week. I thought that Philly was the better side there, the better team. I mean, obviously, they got destroyed by injuries, but, you know, ended up losing there as well. So,
yeah. I would also go kind of with the over in this game. Cause I think that Brissett has a little bit more skill than the Colts have let him show thus far. And if Atlanta scores an early touchdown or, you know, just a bounce goes their way and they're up 10-0 or 14-0 early, I think that this could be one of those things where Atlanta's defense isn't good enough to hold off the Colts, and the Colts are not prepared to play from behind. So, like, there's just going to be a ton of plays. So that's a side that I really like.
Totally.
All right, your second to last pick. Who you got?
All right, cool. So I'm going to go with the Vikings at 9-point favorites here. I know I've been taking a lot of favorites, but so I like them here. I mean, I've been pretty much fading all things Raiders for like all offseason and everything to do with that. So week one was pretty tough, but I think that was kind of more of an aberration to what we're going to see from this team throughout the season. The Vikings should be able to pretty much do whatever they want against the Raiders, especially with establishing the run here. Yeah, I think that they're going to be able to cash this one, dominate the Raiders pretty much on both sides of the ball. I don't see Derek Carr being able to do much of anything. He kind of showed his true colors last week, if we're being honest, against the Chiefs.
Oh, he was so bad.
Yeah, that was like terrible chalk, I feel like. That just ended up just backfiring on everyone. I think the Vikings should win by a good amount here at home. So I'm in on a -9.
Yeah, I think that is the right side. My hesitance on not just wanting to jump on that one is just wondering if a team that runs that much can score enough points to safely be a 9-point favorite. Yeah. Like, I have no doubt they're going to lead by 9 or more points for a good portion of this game. My question, like, if Dalvin Cook breaks off a long one, like if he has a 60-yard touchdown in this game, I think -9 is like super safe. But if they just are having like a lot of long kind of grinded out drives, then I think you're just going to be sweating that a lot more, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree there. At the end of the day, I think they end up pulling it out. But it's definitely going to be a little bit closer than I like. I mean, this 9 number is a little bit higher than I'd like. I'd probably have it closer to like 7.5, something like that. But at the same time, I think the Vikings are just better in pretty much all facets of the game. So, I like them here. I think the interesting over-under is going to be like Kirk Cousins on like, you know what, 15 to 18 pass attempts here. Like, it's going to be real low.
Yeah. Okay, so my final line, and this is one I bet on this team every week. They're 2-0 against the spread thus far. Arizona minus 1.5. They covered at home against the Lions in week one in the tie. They were covering really the entire game against Baltimore and had a chance to win that game outright, more or less. Like if Cliff would have not been quite such a coward with the field goals, I actually think that Arizona could have went into Baltimore and won that game. Kyler is, you know, the league leader in passing rate. No team is more pass heavy than the Arizona Cardinals, and he is against his old college teammate Kyle Allen, $4,000 on DraftKings for those of you who indulge in such activities. But I think Kyle Allen is a much better DraftKings play than he is someone that I would wager on. He was not even good in college, Kyle Allen. He really wasn't.
No. Yeah. I mean, this is like, that's why I'm really like shocked that the Cardinals are only 1.5 here. I mean, when I was doing my research this week, like this just looked like a great spot for the Cardinals, to be honest.
I mean, I just don't get how this is not 3.5. Like, how is this not just like standard team at home against bad team 3.5?
Exactly. I mean, I know the Cardinals have like a, you know, they're not good, but
yeah, they're not good.
But Kyle Allen led Panthers team, that's not good either. You know, like that's not going to be a good squad on the road. So I don't know. I think I like your side here with the Cardinals.
Yeah. Do you have one last pick, or did we cycle through all of yours?
Pretty much cycled through most of it, but our top pick in our Quant Edge model this week for our best bets was Bengals plus 6. They're on the Bengals over last
week. 6 points is a lot for Josh Allen.
Seriously, and that's kind of where I'm at with this. I've also been pretty impressed with Zach Taylor, to be honest. I know that they didn't play well last week, but you know, I think that he's showed a little bit more innovation, creativity. They're passing a lot, you know, as you talked about, and like that's pretty big. And so they've been kind of able to avoid some of the issues that we thought they'd have with their offensive line. Like they're kind of just getting the ball out quick. I'm not necessarily super pumped about Bengals plus 6, but our model loves it. It's like our 5-star play or whatever, and saying that it's like one of their favorite bets of the week. And so it's been pretty good this year. I think won like 67% of the time last year on the best bets. So yeah, Bengals plus 6 there. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sports Grid model's best bet is the Atlanta pick, and a pick I don't agree with at all, the Baltimore KC under. But I don't see this model that they have built go on. I don't see the 5-star picks lose very often. So
yeah,
that to me went from being a game like a bet that I was like, oh, dude, I'm just betting this over. Of course I am. To being like, well, I guess I can see some ways that this maybe goes wrong.
Yeah, those Arrowhead unders are tough, man. And like, you know, if Lamar doesn't prove to be legit, I mean, he's only played against the freaking like Dolphins and Cardinals through 2 weeks. You know, he's obviously looked like a stud, but it's a little scary if the Chiefs are able to step it up. But I'm hoping for the over here. I'm a believer, so I think you're on the right side with the over there. But hopefully your model is wrong.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, tell us about the stuff you have going on over at the Quant Edge and at Roto World.
Yeah, so I'll have my player props article dropping Saturday morning, kind of just after most of the lines are out there. I'll have like 10 to 15 picks each week, which sounds like a lot, but at the same time, like these are just really profitable bets, as we talked about earlier. And it's probably one of my biggest articles of the week. We just did a podcast with Vlad Sedler, Roto Gut, with Move the Line, just published that like the other day. That was awesome. We broke down all the games. So, yeah, that's pretty much my stuff for the week.
All right. Well, there we go. Thanks so much for joining the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, man. This is awesome.